Time now for your letters. My conversation last week with David Blankenhorn on the history of marriage prompted many to write. Linda Mitchell of Alfred University in New York had this to say: I am a medieval historian, and Mr. Blankenhorn's characterization of marriage as an international and timeless phenomenon is wrong. In the West, marriage has historically been an instrument whereby a man could guarantee the paternity of his children and the maintenance and transmission of his land and property to the next generation of men. Love and companionship were not part of the equation. Kim Vaughn of Ithaca, New York, found Mr. Blankenhorn's comments interesting and thoughtful, but she says he's wrong when he says children strongly need mothers and fathers. Loving parents, yes. But the American Psychological Association cites numerous studies that indicate children living with same-sex parents fare no differently than those in opposite-sex households. We received plenty of comments about our coverage of the 40th anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. Jason Ford of San Diego wrote, I was only 3 years old when JFK was shot, but I remember it mainly because it was my father's birthday. I dreaded November 22nd every year after that because my dad would be sad on what is for most people a happy occasion, sometimes crying as we sang Happy Birthday. I still jump when there is a news interruption of a TV show. In the back of my mind, I wonder with dread who's been shot. Several listeners strongly disagreed with the skepticism that Dan Shore and I both expressed about conspiracy theories of the Kennedy assassination. Wayne Snyder of Brattleboro, Vermont wrote, You stated your opinion as if it were fact that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in shooting and killing the president and that there was no conspiracy. What so disturbed me was that you stated this so brazenly and without allowing for any possibility of error or objectivity. You sounded very much like what Pravda used to sound like when I would listen to their subjectively biased propaganda statements on shortwave radio many years ago. And Peter Carman of Rockfall, Connecticut, disagreed with our description of Lee Harvey Oswald. The man Dan Shore called one little jerk, in fact, had an exceptionally intriguing life, with exotic travel and countless interesting and anomalous associations for one so young. To prove that Oswald truly acted alone in killing John F. Kennedy, one has to show that all his questionable associations were, in fact, benign. Instead of doing so, those who posit the single gunman theory have simply ignored them and settled instead for trying to convince us that Oswald was merely a violent little dope. We welcome your comments. You can reach us by email here at WESAT, WESAT, at npr.org. And please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.